also anoint each ear to hear and each heart to receive what you have for us today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. As you know, I'm doing a series on the subject of prayer. And I simply call this series, Prayer, How to Do It. And there are some important things that we need to understand about the subject. And the Word of God has so much to share concerning the subject of prayer that we need to know it and practice it accordingly. Now, beginning here, this is one of our foundational scriptures in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul the Apostle, writing to the church at Ephesus, said, "Praying always with all manner of prayer." Now, the word "always" simply means at every opportunity. It doesn't mean that you pray constantly, 24 hours a day. But as you live your life as a believer, you need to always be ready to pray, listen to this next word, appropriately. Appropriately. Praying always with all manner of prayer. There are different kinds of prayers taught in the New Testament, shown in the Old Testament. But every kind of prayer is not appropriate for every situation. Are you with me? And we'll dig a little deeper into this. But he says, praying always with all manner of prayer and supplication. The word supplication simply means entreaty or pleading or asking. Notice this next part, in the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? The word Spirit here is the Greek word pneuma. Now, when you find the word pneuma in the New Testament, it can be referring to the Holy Spirit, or it can refer to the human spirit. You have to look at it in its setting and in its context to determine which is being addressed. Because in the Greek language, there are no punctuation marks, no capital letters, small case, you know what I mean? So it depends on the context. So praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication and perseverance for all saints. Now, the word pneuma, in the Spirit, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? We're going to look at this in more detail as we go on. But keep in mind that you can interpret the Word of God by the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about this? Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, "If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, pneuma, prayeth." And so you can pray in the Spirit by praying in other tongues. And so that's another segment we'll talk about in a later session. But notice what Paul says in Ephesians 6:18. Praying always at every opportunity, appropriately, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto. Watching. That word watching paints a picture of someone who is standing their post like a guard on a base. Or someone who is watching. It paints a picture of someone who is sleepless. You know? Jesus often talked about people being asleep and saying, you know, if the good man of the house had watched, the thief would not have broken in. But many times, Christian people are asleep at the switch. In other words, the enemy's working, things are happening that could be changed if someone would pray. But nobody is spiritually awake. Now, we have a type of this in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, where the Lord said, "For I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap, that the land be not destroyed." And he said this, "But I found none." In other words, I was looking for one person to intercede, one person to stand in that gap in the wall and keep the enemy from rushing in, but I couldn't find anybody. And so this is Paul's admonition about that situation in the New Testament, you know, watching thereunto. Now, That word also means to be ready. Now, God doesn't want you to go without sleep. Are you with me? But there are some things that you need to be aware of at the right time so that you can pray appropriately. Now, let me share this, and I think just about all of us can identify with this. Many times, bad things have happened to people, and we've either heard about it or read about it. Now, don't raise your hands, but I truly believe many of us can identify with this. Many of us have said to ourselves, "Ooh, I was just thinking about him." Or, "Ooh, man, I was thinking about him." Or, I've had people say this, "You know what? I saw something like that. I knew something like that was coming." Now, what is that? That was, I truly believe, the Holy Spirit looking for somebody to pray. And bringing these people to our hearts or bringing these people into our minds. And many times in the past, I've just shrugged it off. You know, many times I've been on the phone and called people or they've called me. I said, "Man, I was just thinking about you." All of us can identify with that to a certain degree. Well, I've learned now whenever God brings anybody to my remembrance or I just think about them, I'll start praying. Because I don't know why God brought that back to my memory or my remembrance. So I'll just start praying. "Father, I thank you for so-and-so." I was praying for a friend of mine this morning on the way to church. He just came to my mind. And so I just prayed a simple prayer. "Father, thank you for healing my friend. Because I know he's had some physical challenges lately. And I had a conversation with him a few years ago. And we asked him, 'How would you like us to pray for you?' He said, 'When you think of me, just tell the Lord, thank you for healing my friend.'" And he said his name. And so whenever I think of him, that's the way I pray. "Father, thank you for healing so-and-so." Are you with me? But that's what that word watching means. It doesn't mean that you're up all night worrying and rocking and, you know, and thinking about your family and praying for them. No, it just simply means that when the Holy Spirit gives you that little gentle reminder that you're always attentive to pray the appropriate prayer. You with me? And so there are some things that you know, this is one of those things when we're talking about prayer that is considered like a mystery. Now, we'll touch on that in a little bit. Now, what is a mystery? That simply means it's hidden from the world. It's hidden from the ungodly. But these are things that believers are supposed to know. Are you with me? I said these are things that believers are supposed to know. Not only know, but practice. Now, let's go a little further. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. What is the word perseverance? We know what it means to persevere. It means to endure. It means that you don't faint. What does it mean to faint? That means that you quit. It doesn't mean that you pass out. You know what I mean? Luke chapter 17. We'll touch on this as we get a little further in the subject of prayer. But remember the widow woman who went before the unjust judge? Remember that story? And she said, "Avenge me of my adversary." And he wouldn't do it. But he said a little later on, "Though I don't fear God nor regard man, but this widow woman," and this is one translation says it like this, "she won't leave me alone. And so I'm going to avenge her, lest she," the New Testament King James says, "weary me." Another translation says, "lest she hurt me." In other words, this woman won't go away. She won't quit. I said no, and she's back the next day. I said no, and when I went home, she's standing in my driveway. I said no, and she keeps coming back and won't give up until I avenge her of her adversary. She was persistent. We need to be the same way when it comes to our prayer life. When we pray about certain things, when we pray for certain people, we need to be persistent in prayer. What does it mean to be persistent? We don't quit. We don't give up. Especially if I'm in agreement with somebody else. I won't quit. If I know what God's Word says, and we're praying in line with the Word of God, there's no reason to relent and to give up. Because I've got God's Word on it. Are you with me? And so we need to learn how to be persistent in prayer. Now, here's the thought that I wanted to get to in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And that is the last part of that verse. Now, let me get there with you. Ephesians 6:18, and notice what he said about praying for others. Ephesians 6:18, I'm in 6:10, here we go. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, persistence, and supplication for all saints. Now, there's an interesting play on the word here. The word saints is the Greek word hagios. And the word hagios is translated, you ready for this? Holy things. Holy things. Now, that's why Paul wrote to Timothy and said, I would that men would pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. If you realized how God sees you, and how he sees your brother and sister in Christ. That's why I spend so much time hammering the fact that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ because of his redemptive sacrifice. You're not just an old sinner saved by grace. God sees you as a holy thing. Are you with me? And so we need to be persistent in prayer, in praying for each other. I can't tell you how many times Minister Heidelberg has said this to me. Now, with Charles being a minister on staff, I'll share things with Minister Charles that I won't share with anybody else. I shouldn't, and I don't. But there are times I'll share things with him. And I'll share things about something that happened, or I'll share things with Charles about someone. Perhaps I'm disappointed in their performance or something like that. And you, without fail, Minister Heidelberg will say the same thing to me. Well, Pastor Bill, you know, we've really got to spend time praying for them. He can witness to it. We've really got to spend time praying. Or I'll share something. He'll say, you know, I've been praying for that man. But you know what? He's right. We need to consistently and constantly pray for each other. Instead of looking at people through natural eyes and thinking, boy, what a ding-dong this dude is. No, God sees them as holy things. As holy things. We've got to see things from God's viewpoint. You with me?
Yes.
Now, that is why, if you understand how God sees things and how God views people, listen, that'll change your attitude real quick. Are you with me? It grieves me whenever I get a report that someone is abusing someone or taking advantage of someone. You know, it's a terrible thing. But many times I hear about things that people do, how they treat other believers. And I'm thinking, don't these people realize that one day they'll have to stand before the Lord Jesus and give an account for this? How can you treat someone this way when they're God's child? You with me? God sees them as a holy thing. And you're going to try to step out with them? You're going to try to take advantage of them? You know, there was a minister here years ago. I don't want to go down this road. Okay. I won't. But we had women who were part of our church. I had two that came to me and said, yeah, he always tried to sleep with all the women in the church. I'm like, what? I mean, that doesn't compute in my mind. Now, understand, I have a physical body and a flesh just like anybody else, but I view God's people as holy things. I remember the story of Hophni and Phinehas in the Old Testament. You know, these guys were sleeping with women who came to the temple to worship. God judged them severely because they scoffed at His sacrifice. And not only did God judge them, God judged their father Eli for not correcting them. You know, we need to see each other in the right light. Yeah, you might do some things that appear to be knucklehead. But I'm going to do just as Minister Heidelberg has shared with me for years. I'm going to pray for you. Persistently and consistently and constantly. Now, that does not relieve you of your obligation to do the right thing. It just means that I'm going to pray that God will help you get there. And hopefully you'll get there soon. Are you with me? And so you can see how much is packed into these verses. Now, we're in Ephesians 6:18. I want to show you something. Let's read the next verse. And for me, he's saying, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now there again, Paul is soliciting the prayers of these believers in Ephesus so that God will give him utterance. What does that mean? In other words, he'll have the right thing to say at the right time to the right people. You know, it's one thing to be able to get up and say something. You need to have the ability to say something that's appropriate, that's timely. See, the Word talks about a word spoken in due season, how precious it is. You with me? It's a one thing to speak the Word of God as an oracle of God. One of the prophets said, Lord, let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. In other words, let me say exactly what you want me to say as you were saying it yourself. It's like you were writing it. You with me? And so Paul is praying, pray that I'll have utterance. And then he said this, that I might reveal the mystery of the gospel. Now, the mystery of the gospel simply means this. God's plan is hidden, reserved in store for the righteous. Ungodly people don't take advantage of this. They can't. It's hidden from them. They don't understand it. They never will. It's hidden from them. Why? Because you have to live and operate by faith to walk in this. And without the faith of God in your heart, you're going to try to mentally process this thing, and you'll come out not understanding it. It won't work. Amen? So that was my introduction for today's lesson. Is that all right? All right. Now, turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 1. You're in Ephesians. Go over two books, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 1. We're talking about prayer, how to do it. We've seen from previous lessons that prayer is to be addressed to God the Father in the name of Jesus. It's unscriptural to pray to Jesus. It's unscriptural to pray to the saints. It's unscriptural. Jesus said, I'm not saying that you have to pray to me. He said, you can go directly to God because He loves you as much as He loves me. He loves you because you believe that I came out from Him. Are you with me? So notice Colossians chapter 1. Now, we're going to talk about how to pray. We're going to talk about who to pray for. And we're going to talk about some specifics in prayer. But here are some ways you can pray for other people. Everybody say other people. We need to get beyond just praying for ourselves. Now, we're going to go into the prayer of faith and how to believe and the prayer of intercession, the prayer of thanksgiving. We're going to talk about united prayer. We're going to talk about all of those things. But we need to get beyond just praying for ourselves. God wants your needs to be met. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be able to pay your bills. He wants you to live a life so that you have enough. He wants you to live a life to the degree that you have enough to bless other people. But we need to get beyond just praying for ourselves. I remember the story of an old farmer who said, Lord, bless me and my wife, my son and my daughter, us four and no more. That's not the way God wants us to live. Amen. We need to know how to pray for others effectively. But many times people don't even think about prayer until they have a problem. And that's sad. You know, they think of prayer as the spare tire. You know, when's the last time you checked your spare? Some of you have never checked your spare. Why? You've never had a flat. Amen. But when you get a flat, now all of a sudden, you want to be an expert mechanic. You know, I'm going to get this tire changed. Or you're going to call AAA. You know, call your husband, call your son. You go call somebody. Amen. If my wife ever got a flat, I don't want her changing the tire. I'll come do it. Or I'll have somebody do it. But we shouldn't treat prayer like our spare tire. Now, Colossians chapter 1, notice verse 9. We're talking about prayer, how to do it. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, Paul is talking about himself and his ministry team praying for these believers at Colossae. And he's praying specifically that they might be filled with the knowledge of God's will. In other words, we want you to know the will of God for your life, and we want you to be able to understand it so that you can walk in it. Are you with me? Now, that's much more detailed than just praying, God bless brother so-and-so. You know, that's not much of a prayer. Now, listen to me. That's better than doing nothing. It's better than not praying at all. But I truly believe that we can be more specific at times. I often liken it to going to the drive-thru. And last week I went to Taco Bell, got myself some tacos. I don't often do drive-thru fast food. But when I got to the big thing where they have the microphone, and you hear the voice come out, you know, hello, how can I help you? I said I want 4 hard shell tacos with no cheese and a cup of iced tea. I was specific. I did not pull up to the drive-thru and say, I'm hungry, bless me. When's the last time you did that? I'm hungry, bless me. No, you get specific. The person wants details so they can meet your need. Are you with me? The same thing is true when it comes to prayer. We need to be specific. Now, if all you know how to pray is, Lord, bless Carla, then, well, hey, that's a start. But you need to be a little more specific than that. Remember when Paul said, pray for me that utterance may be given to me? He's telling them exactly what he wants prayer for. Pray for me that God will give me the right thing to say. That's appropriate for the group at that time, at that moment. So he was specific. Well, we need to be the same way. When somebody says to you, sister, would you pray for me? Don't just say, yes, I will. Ask them some questions. What would you like me to pray for? Well, I'm having an issue with this, that, and the other. Here's one that we all need to take note of. When someone says, remember me in prayer. Don't just say, okay. You know, it really, really bothers me when I go to churches and they have a prayer list. Would you remember these people in prayer? Well, you know what happens. Get to the end of the service and everybody forgets. So whenever there's a prayer request, I pray then. I'm not going to remember when I get home. I mean, I will remember, but I'm not going to take that approach. I'm going to ask some questions. What do you need prayer for? And once you know what to pray for, then go to the Word of God and pray accordingly. But don't wait till you get home. Odds are you'll forget. And if you didn't ask any questions, you won't pray with specifics. So whenever anybody asks you for prayer, would you pray for me? Always say, what do you need prayer for? You with me? I shared the story a couple weeks ago about a young man who asked me to pray years ago. He said, would you pray for me? I said, sure. What do you want me to pray for? He said, it's an unspoken request. I said, I don't do those. He said, what? I said, I don't do those. Unless I know what I'm praying for, how can I believe God or release my faith when I don't know what I'm praying for? And he proceeded to tell me, well, I'm not praying that God will bless it. I'm just praying that he'll keep me safe while I do it. I said, what are you talking about? He's going to commit armed robbery. He wanted me to pray for him, that he wouldn't get killed. I said, I'm not praying that prayer. That violates so many principles in the Word of God. Forget it. You know, the Bible tells you don't do it. And so I'm not praying for you. Amen? So don't pray for unspoken requests. That's silly. You with me? Now, there are times people don't want everybody to know that they have a certain need or something. That's fine. You know, keep it in confidence. But you need to know what you're praying for. Everybody got that? So here, Paul's praying for the church at Colossae with specifics, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So here he's being very specific that these people would know the will of God, that they would have the spiritual understanding to carry it out and the spiritual wisdom to carry it out to such a degree that they would bear fruit in everything that they do. That they'd be fruitful in everything that they do. And see, that's really what most people want. Pray for me that I'll prosper or be fruitful. Okay, great. You know how you're going to do that? By walking in the will of God. By understanding his will and carrying it out in your life. And so Paul was specific in praying that they would have the knowledge of his will and the wisdom to carry it out. Now, we're in Colossians, back up to Ephesians again. I want to show you another example of how Paul prayed for others. This is a good model for us to follow because we can pray the same thing for others and we can pray the same thing for ourselves. Notice Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll begin with, we'll begin with verse 16, Ephesians 1, notice what it says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, here's a little key I want you to see. Notice that Paul said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Notice that he's continuing to thank God for these people as he's praying for them. Now, he's thanking God because he already prayed for them according to what we're about to read. So he didn't go back and pray it again. He went back with thanksgiving. There's a difference. Now, let's see what he prayed. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Remember, the word revelation doesn't mean new things. It means things being uncovered or revealed. Some of those mysteries that are hidden from unbelievers would be revealed to you. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Now, he's praying specifically that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He really wants you to know him. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Now, I liken it to a cartoon. Whenever somebody gets an idea, you see a little puff cloud with a light coming on. In other words, the light came on and they saw something they didn't see before. Doesn't mean it's new. It was there all the time, but it was hidden from view. And so that's what Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know some things. Now, notice he said, I cease not to give thanks for you. He already prayed this prayer for the Ephesian church, the believers. And so now, every time it comes to his remembrance, here's how Paul was praying. Father, I just thank you for giving them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I thank you for enlightening them in their understanding. I thank you, Father, because they're going to know what is the hope of your calling. I thank you because you're revealing to them the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. Father, I thank you for showing them how much power you've made available to them as believers. And so he's addressing it with thanksgiving. Can you see that? Here's a little key to answered prayer. When you ask God for something, he heard you the first time. With me? The Bible says in several places, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. He's not deaf. He heard you the first time. And so when you petition him according to his word, petition him with confidence that he heard you. 1 John chapter 3. If we ask anything according to his will, his purpose or decree, that Greek word thelema. If God purposed it or decreed it, and I ask according to what he has decreed or said, then I know that I have, possess, the things that I desired of him. Now, I may not see them yet. I may not feel them yet. The situation may not look any better. But according to the word of God, I have it. Because I prayed according to his decree. He heard me. So now, every time I address that thing, I'm going to address it with thanksgiving. Father, I thank you. I know you heard me. Remember when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus? Do you remember what he said when he stood out there? And he said, take the stone away. And everybody said, oh, Jesus, you don't want to do that. He's been dead 4 days. And he said, Father, I thank you. I know you always hear me, but I said it for these people standing by that they might believe. And then he said, roll that stone away. See, Jesus had already prayed. He knew God already heard him. And he knew what was about to happen. You with me? You need to have as much confidence in prayer that when you pray, you have a solid basis for your prayer life, and that is the decree of the Lord, the written word of God. And when you pray according to the word of God, you know he heard you, and you know you got it. So every time you address that issue from then on, do it with thanksgiving. You got it? Hey, this will help some of you. Do it with thanksgiving. Father, I thank you because I know you heard me. And I thank you for healing so-and-so. I thank you for meeting that need. I thank you for, I know the answer has come. Keep doing it with thanksgiving. And be persistent. Don't quit. Don't ever give up. I don't care come hell or high water. You keep thanking God for the answer. You learn how to pray like that, your life will make a dramatic change. Amen? Did you learn anything today? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? We're not going to dismiss, but we're going to have the Lord's Supper.